crucified. Here's a good way to celebrate Good Friday. 11 people nailed to crosses in the Philippines. A 45-year-old commercial sign maker in the Philippines is among 11 people who had themselves nailed to crosses Friday in observance of Good Friday. For him, it was the 20th time he's taken part in the extreme ritual. He said it's his way of thanking God after miraculously surviving a fall from a building when he was a construction worker.
Wow.
And this is the Hellbound Alley program. I'm Alley, and with me is Frank.
Maybe.
And I'm hoping he'll stay with me for the rest of the program.
I might.
And we also have our good friend Andrew with us. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're right back.
And so I wanted to ask everyone out there, how do you thank God by nailing yourself to a cross?
Very good question.
Is that what God wants us to do? Because if that is a good way of thanking God, then why didn't he say so in the Ten Commandments? Or
they're all pussies, though.
Well, they are, because according to this article, they had sterilized the spikes with alcohol, and the spikes are not big, thick, you know, iron nails. They appear to be tacks of some kind.
Yeah.
But I think it's a way for people to feel good about themselves. It's not to thank God. I think it really is a way for people to feel good about themselves, somewhat like walking on hot coals. But having something nailed to the center of your hand probably hurts worse than walking on hot coals. But I think it's more like an I dare you situation, you know. Because I don't know. I just don't see anything in the Bible that says that you should nail yourself to a cross for, what, 10 minutes? I don't know how long they're there. You know, people are waiting in line. You better get down off the cross fast because, you know, there's a bunch of skinny guys in line waiting behind you. You know, for the cross ride. It's like an amusement park ride. It's a carnival, you know. It's... Let's find another pigeon. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Nail yourself up to a cross. It's only 5 cents, folks. 5 cents.
Exactly.
Sounds like a great Easter for them.
What did you do this Easter?
Well,
I nailed myself to a cross. What about you? Well, I ate some chocolates.
I don't know. Where is the word cross and Jesus and Christian in the word Easter? I just don't see it. But you guys know what we did for Easter, don't you?
No.
Well, you know, we're celebrating moral realism.
I don't remember where Easter was.
It was last Sunday. You know, we did a show, but this week... We're continuing our evangelism of moral realism and making blog posts and reading all those wonderful blog comments I've been getting. Everyone and you and Andrew and Aaron, we've all been enjoying responding to the comments that have nothing to do with our articles. But this is what I've been observing. This week, according to the typical kinds of responses we've been getting, so as far as all of you silly monkeys out there, you poop-throwing moral subjectivists, to use a terrible word, as far as you're concerned, there is no earthly reason whatsoever to avoid violence upon another human being, and that kind of thing is completely arbitrary and made up. So, you know, if you guys are confused about why religion continues to persist, you know, then there's obviously a problem with your irony meter.
Yeah.
But, so that's the kind of response we're getting. Apparently, morality is all a position of what kind of ice cream flavor we like.
Because relativism is the last refuge and best refuge of religion.
Definitely.
I mean, what's the last excuse of the religious? Oh, it's my culture. Ugh.
Which is the same thing as saying that's what I believe.
Exactly. Or it's just a belief, it's just faith. What is that, relativism?
Right. And I've been listening to the podcasts out there and the atheist shows.
It's relativism because anyone can have faith, but their faith comes from where? It comes from their culture, comes from their parents. It comes from what the other people tell them. It's relativist.
Right, and you have to wonder, if it does come from your culture, and if it does come from your parents, they got it from somewhere, and so on and so on, where did that begin? Did one man just sort of make it up for no reason? Is there just no reason to not rape because it's just an arbitrarily based on desire for freedom? Anyway,
well, that's
so
ridiculous, of course.
You know, of course there's a real factual reason. And shame on you.
It would be great if we had just had a society where everyone everyone forces everyone else to do things, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be just wonderful.
Because, you know, the best way to pursue your values is when you aren't free to do that. But, like I was saying, I listen to a lot of people talking, and my favorite show, the Penn Jillette Show, on Thursday, I guess, he was making a heartfelt discussion about the death penalty, which is a big deal when you're talking about morality and government and non-government and such. And he is clearly a libertarian. He's clearly against the death penalty, so don't worry about that. But he's also so nice that he cares, for some reason, about how people feel. And, of course, a lot of us care about how people feel.
I don't care.
But you don't have to. You don't have to care about how people feel, because people are going to feel, you know, regardless of what's going on.
Well, in this case, how people feel is they want to see people die.
Yeah, well, anyway, he said basically, you should want to kill the person who... You're immoral if you don't feel like killing the person who killed your daughter.
Say that,
no. Something like that.
No, don't talk.
Okay, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he did say that this issue just can't be resolved based on fact.
Exactly.
And
which brings us to the issue. If it's not based on facts, then what is it based on, and why should we care?
And that's why I wrote him. And I did receive a reply this morning from Michael Goudeau, who just wanted some clarification, or he was just making a joke. He said, so what's your real position? So I wrote a shorter email. And so apparently it's up to the jugglers to resolve this issue. But I said to Penn, and I don't know if he's going to respond or not, probably not, because he wants to talk about other things next week. But I said... Talking about morality being basically that's what pushes humanity along. That's the most important thing. Like Einstein said, you know, morality is the most important thing to, well, I guess you call it humanity. So why would you want to place the most important thing in the world, why do you want that to be based on belief or chance? You know, Penn made a show about the death penalty.
Why would he
want to make it if it was just based on his guess? Or
did he make a show with no facts in it?
Of course he did.
Because he said that facts are not relevant. So,
well, he didn't say that facts are not relevant. He said that you can't resolve the issue on facts.
Exactly. So why did he make a show?
Right. And
it,
that's,
it doesn't help resolve
that's
anything.
What I said. I was like,
it's just for entertainment, I guess?
We have to base it on facts. If it's that important, an issue like the death penalty is that important. It's called life or death. We don't place somebody's life, the decision about somebody's life in the hands of the faithful or, you know, flipping a coin. We don't do that. Well, yes, we do. And I kind of pointed that out, too, you know. When I was saying my views on the death penalty don't really apply if you just say, so what do you think, so are you for or against it? Because I'm not for the government, so it's kind of different, but...
It is?
Well, I mean, because, the court system, you know, it goes back a little farther.
I don't think it's really a statist issue. I mean, I obviously think that statism is completely obscuring the issue to an intolerable point, but
yeah.
I don't think it's fundamentally a statist issue.
Well, I was just kind of saying, I think it's kind of crazy because we know that there are people innocent. People have been exonerated. A lot of people on death row. What was it, like 10% of the people
mm-hmm.
on death row had been proved innocent by DNA,
mm-hmm.
and it's like there are people, and it's not death row, but in people who are still in prison when facts have come to light.
Facts,
but, right? When facts have come
See,
to light,
facts aren't important, but we exonerate people.
But don't just go and release them because there's more faith in the system. You have to follow the system. We can't just let people out even though we find out that they're innocent, you know. So there are still people sitting in prison in a certain county in a certain Pacific Northwest state who have been accused of satanic child molestation, and the facts have come to light, and they still languish because the system must be followed, because we have faith in the system. And that's crazy. That's insane. And but we have a belief. And no, and as I was saying, nobody is responsible. When we put the responsibility on something that doesn't exist.
Exactly. No one is being held responsible
right.
for these exonerations. Who's responsible? The system. Who's the system? What is the system? Why isn't the system being
right,
used?
You can't blame the executioner because if he doesn't do his job, he gets fired, he gets arrested, he's threatened. So, you know, you go on up and up and up, and they're all threatened if they don't deliver. And there's another question. I mean, there's lots of other questions. Do we help the families of the victims when we kill people? Does it really help? Does it matter if it helps? Should we take into account if it helps? Should we take into account their feelings? There's a lot of things to talk about, and those things are based, they have to be based on facts. It's fucking human life. It could be your ass up there. You know, of course it doesn't happen to me.
But apparently it's not based on facts.
Right, because it feels so important. So people are almost saying it's too important to be based on facts. Which is the craziness, the total craziness.
How about you, Andrew? Do you think it should be based on facts? I don't know, I think he's gone.
We've been talking so long that we've put Andrew to sleep. Anyway, so that's kind of what I've been doing all week. Now, if you're visiting my blog at hellboundalley.blogspot.com, please notice that my blog is not frozen. It's not staying the same. You just have to scroll down past the first entry, and you'll see all kinds of other goodies that I've been posting. It's still moving. We're just adding more articles to the initial post until the 1st of May. But be sure that we are not going to give up. because it's too important.
He actually said, I agree.
He did.
I didn't hear it.
Oh, also, and you know this, our show may be a little bit different than what you...
Oh.
Okay, there you are.
Sorry, I have a microphone on you.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to be breathing on it.
Our show may be a little bit
problem.
Different than what you were expecting. We were supposed to be talking with Per Bylund.
Bylund?
Of the market anarchist, and we will be talking to him soon, but we have some technical difficulties that we could not manage to overcome, so we're going to reschedule, and so now we're doing a show on the fly.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it will be just as excellent as always.
With Andrew.
With Andrew, because he stopped by to have a cup of coffee. Yeah, coffee. That's right.
And, go ahead, Andrew. You have something to say?
Oh, I just wanted to mention about the war on relativism and some of the comments that we've been getting on the Radical Libertarian and Hellbound Alley and Goosing. And I just think it's very interesting some of the just how people can read these posts that are directed directly at concerns that they have, and they don't address them. They don't respond.
I would definitely like to talk about this. However, before we do that, I would like to end on this topic of the death penalty. And maybe explain a little bit, and perhaps explain at the same time moral judgment in general, because this relates to relativism, etc., how people don't understand about facts. Well, it's simple, actually. It's a three-step process, I mean, if you're going to do it really logically, and you've got a number of facts. For example, I ask, how are you supposed to judge, you know, an institution? Well, it can't be based on facts. Well, that's ridiculous, of course. It has to be based on facts. It can't be based on religion or belief or culture. It has to be based on facts. But there are three things. First of all, what are the values that are being supposed to be advanced by this institution? Okay, that's the first thing. The second aspect is, are these values rational? And the third aspect is, are these values being affected by the system? What values are being affected by the system? So you've got your three points here, which are basically the basis of moral judgment. So if you look, for example, to the death penalty, what are the values? What are the values that the system is supposed to fulfill?
Well, I don't know, actually, because, I mean, I have my idea, and my idea is that we're trying to stop... We're supposed to protect people from violent crime.
What I think is better to do is we've got to first start from the values and think about the kind of social institutions that we need and then see if they correspond to what we have. I think that's probably a better avenue than looking at stuff we already have. And look at it. Because, you know, all these things are built on so many premises. Well, like the death penalty. I mean...
Right, I mean, most people probably want to say, well, it's people for...
It's based on it's based on revenge, basically.
Yes.
It's emotional. But that is not a rational value. I mean, we don't do things in society because they make us feel good. This is not hedonistic. It has to be based on facts. It has to be based on... It has to be based on the premises of freedom and having a system of justice based on, you know, restitution, based on trying to lower crime.
Right, so restitution and protecting...
Which the death penalty doesn't do any of these things.
Right.
It's there basically for emotional fulfillment. All right?
I'd certainly agree.
Do you agree, Andrew?
Yeah, definitely.
So what I think is that it doesn't fulfill any rational value. That's not based on facts. That's just my opinion.
It seems more based, when you're saying revenge, it's more based on religion then, wouldn't it? It's like...
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you're going to tell me that someone is insane, maybe, is an insane killer, and there's no way that this person is ever going to be of... is ever going to be, sane, and this person can ever be put back in society. Well, once again, that's fine, but does that mean we have to kill that person? I don't know.
I would make the argument that if you kill them, then you lose any potential value that they could offer you in learning about such diseases.
Well, that's one
thing.
If you
want to be pragmatic, yeah, that's
I mean, sure, I'm sure there are people that are just too completely removed from reality to ever...
But I mean, this is obviously an extreme limit here. I mean, people who are insane, you usually go in asylums anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, but... But then again, you can ask about the asylums. Are they doing anything? I mean, obviously prisons aren't for rehabilitation. They teach people how to be criminals. I mean,
true.
There's a lot of problems here.
True, absolutely. I agree with you. I agree that the prison system is not the best idea out there. I think if we had a market, we could probably find better solutions than that. I find it hard to believe that this would be the best solution.
Obviously, state-run mental institutions don't make people sane. Although, I don't know very much about it, but I've had several eyewitness accounts of how crazy they make people who aren't crazy.
I really don't know on that aspect. But that's, okay, so you understand the 3 points?
So we have to figure out how it fulfills the value and whether the value is rational.
No. You have to identify the values.
Uh-huh.
Identify whether they're rational and identify whether the system fulfills those values.
Very good.
It's kind of like an action, a decision, a choice, any moral judgment. You say, well, I'm doing this for this. And on the other hand, there's this other negative aspect. So now you try to figure it out and you ask, well, what values am I trying to fulfill? Are these values rational? Are they being fulfilled by what I want to do?
That's very reasonable.
Pretty simple, really. It's
yes.
Not such a big deal.
It should be simple.
And if you've got, if you don't want to, you know, if you're in other situations where you don't really have the time to do such a process, you can just think about virtues, important virtues, such as, you know, honesty, rationality. You basically have to be honest and look at the truth of any situation, and at least be ready to admit it to yourself.
Definitely.
If you're not, then forget about
because it. Because, I mean, as we know, like, with the death penalty, what happens is, it doesn't matter who gets convicted, as long as somebody gets killed,
exactly.
It seems to satisfy people.
That's
not honest.
Exactly.
We're twins today, I think.
Twin powers activate.
If we only had rings.
Shape of the market anarchy.
Form a... the market anarchy doesn't have, like, an animal, like a bald eagle, because, like...
Yeah, sure, it does. It's a penguin.
The guy does, like, the water or the elemental, and the girl is the animal, I think.
Okay.
So you would be, like, shape of a market anarchy, whatever that is.
Water.
I would be the animal.
You'd
that
be
would
a
help.
Penguin.
A penguin?
Why a penguin?
It's the symbol of libertarianism.
It is? Why?
I'm not sure, but it is.
Because of Batman?
I don't know. Yeah, I just know it is. What?
Shape of a Ferengi.
What did you say, Andrew?
I said because of the natural tuxedo.
natural tuxedo. Well, Per Bylin has this beautiful tuxedo on his site.
Yeah.
The penguin-like tuxedo is gorgeous. White tie and everything. Tails.
What the fuck?
Oh, we've got somebody building outside. That's
someone's building something.
That's really good. But now that we've stopped, I might as well give our coordinates. While you listen to the guy chopping wood, I will just tell you that...
Thanks for the wood chopping, buddy.
I will just tell you that our website can be found at hellboundalley.com. And you can still email me at allie@hellboundalley.com. And you can tell me why I'm stupid and wrong at hellboundalley.blogspot.com. I do have a little challenge for people on my blog to answer.
What is that?
Well, it's a little Where's Waldo. I talked about an interesting news story about a man who nailed 6 to 8 nails into his head. And he went to the hospital complaining of a headache. And I wanted people to read the post and then tell me how this relates to religion. And they won't win a prize, but I just want to read really good responses.
yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What is that smell?
It's probably the gas coming from, the electrical smell coming from the...
He's killing me. Anyway,
as long as he's making something good.
Do you guys understand the basic process here?
I'm going to write your process down.
Well, it's very simple.
So let me write it, and then everyone can hear it said again. Number one.
First of all, you identify the values.
The values.
The values that you think are being pursued by whatever action or system.
Okay, and then number two is you...
Identify if the values are rational.
Right. Identify if the values are rational. And then number three is, are the values being fulfilled by the system in question?
Yes, exactly. Like we said in the case of death penalty, you know, we'd be talking about the values that are being fulfilled are irrational. That's where we kind of would stop there.
You know,
and say, okay, that's not a good system. That's
those three little PowerPointy kinds of things there.
Bam.
Bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Got some bam here, Frank.
I think
and
it
the
needs,
one and the two and the three.
It needs to be part of our canon.
It needs to be part of our campaign. Bam, bam, bam.
Just like some lovely little box with the three bullet points in it. And
if you want, we can talk about some basic examples.
Sure. Well, this could be a really good new post.
How about we get an example?
Well, we talked about the death penalty,
so we can talk
about something that happens to people in their lives.
Okay,
should I... Let's see, I'm 18 years old, and I'm going to choose a college. Is that a good one, you think?
Can we maybe pick a something easy like the war on drugs?
I was thinking an everyday example so people understand that morality is not just something where people sit around and think, gee, I wonder if this is good or bad. Mm-hmm. That's what they think. It's like, morality is people deciding what they think about an issue. No. Morality is like what you're actually doing.
Choosing things. That's all
I mean, yeah, okay, the war on drugs is actually happening. It's actual reality. However,
But the war on drugs is an institution. It's not a specific action. You're talking about a specific person. Anyway, we have to go to the intermission, so perhaps you should think about this during the intermission.
Yeah. Well,
then we can come back. Why don't you talk about...
Intermission. I found an album by a very strange woman who is an environmentalist.
Of course.
And she's singing a song about the environment.
I hate them.
And I believe that the song is called Aspirations of Nature.
You mean aspirations or aspirations as in roughness?
Aspirin. I don't know if she actually used the language correctly. I'm not sure if she means breathing or if she means
like
some sort of dream about what nature could be. I'm not really sure. But she has a wonderful organ, and I don't mean like a good liver or a penis, but I mean that she has a good organ in her house, and she recorded an album, so.
We'll be right back.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls. Take a deep breath. Relax.
There is healing in nature, and in ourselves, a hunger for sun and silence and solitude. The murmur of waters, the wind in the trees, these are real tranquilizers. They bring natural and lasting highs of rejoicing awareness. When the problems and pressures of the world tend to get you uptight, you won't need to pop pills. Keep your cool by journeying back to basic simplicity. Seek out the greenery of a forest. Go among the tall trees, our brothers the trees. I love them, plant them, and even talk to them. Trees purify the atmosphere, and in saving them, we are helping to save ourselves and our children's children. To empathize with nature is to hear her hidden melodies.
Okay, intermission's over. The show must go on.
And we're back.
Okay, and that was just lovely. And we also have construction going on. Anyway, we were just talking about Frank's 3 points in how we use morality.
The 3 points of light.
The points of light. So we were talking about how to use examples to fulfill Frank's points and
to fulfill my points.
How to fulfill. I've got fulfill on the brain. Anyway, so we were talking about what do people do every week, every day almost. And we talked about going to the grocery store.
Not normally thought of as a moral issue, is it?
No, it is a moral issue.
But it is.
But there are many moral issues that can be identified.
For example, the fact that you're going to a grocery store at all shows that you're interested in your own physical well-being.
And the well-being of your family, who you're shopping for. Your husband, your boyfriend, your friends, your cat. So the basic value of going to the grocery store is to to nourish and
to eat,
it's not about ice cream flavor, but it's actually about nourishing someone so that they can survive. So the value is eating, surviving?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so are the values being... are the values rational?
Well, there's more than that when you make a specific choice. I mean, we're talking about going to the store, but when you get there, there are many values that you take into account.
Okay, how much money you're going to pay for the food that you chose?
Are you going to spend time cutting out coupons?
Let's see. Are you going to drive to the corner store because you're very tired, or are you going to go ahead and walk there? I mean, that's apart from eating, but I guess there's a lot of different values going on. Let's see. Actually, what food you're going to eat also speaks to the value of nutrition that we were talking about. Because, you know, the vegetarians out there probably understand that.
It speaks to other things. It speaks to your tastes.
Which
are factual.
Allergies.
Yeah.
Are you going to spend the time to read the label to find out if there's peanuts in...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it also refers to your tastes in food. I mean, we like certain things and not others. But that is a factual thing.
Are you going to buy this really expensive cut of veal? When you make that choice, that also speaks to your abilities as a chef. Whether or not you're going to be able to get out the maximum value out of that expensive cut of meat with your skills, or if actually a really bad cut of meat, you'll be able to make taste good with your skills, you know. Like, what do you know about cooking couscous or, you know, baba ganoush or something? Are you going to try something new? Do you have a child at home who's fussy? Do you think that it's important for them to try new food because you're helping, you want to raise your child to have a broad variety of tastes? Why do you want your child to have a broad variety of tastes? Am I getting, like, too wide now? Is this too much?
No, I don't think so. I just think that we have to make it clear that, the third point, which is, does the system that we are currently using to fulfill these values of nutrition and price comparison and all, does it fulfill those values?
Well, simply going to the grocery store, of course, is the only way you're going to be able to do that unless it's hunting season and you're a good shot and you're willing to dress the food. But going to the grocery store means that you're able to buy not only the food, but, you know, the can opener, in many cases, the pan, the oil, the spices. And because after all, how are you going to get nutrition if it tastes like crap? There's a reason that you make food taste good, and it's not just because you like it, but because, well, the family that you want to feed won't eat it, and then therefore won't get the nutrition that they need.
No, they're just going to go to a Burger King or something.
They'll probably do that. Maybe you'd rather have them eat your home-cooked food than go to McDonald's.
They're just going to say, fuck you, we're going to burger.
Right, right. But,
how could you burn water, you idiot?
So what do you suppose people would... How would people protest with what we're saying? I mean,
oh, I don't want to get into that because people have so many excuses to deny that.
Right. Well, they still are going to say, that's not a moral issue, that's not a moral issue.
So
if you don't think that giving your family good nutrition and keeping them alive and fed is not a moral issue, then there's really no more conversation.
Well, I know that Andrew wants to talk to people's reactions, so perhaps we should get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start?
Well, we've had a couple of posts in the War on Relativism now, and I guess, I don't know how much you've explained the war on the show here, but...
I don't think we have explained it.
Well, why don't you just explain the war briefly then?
Explain the war? Explain what we're doing again?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think, and I know that Frank agrees with me...
Well, the main reason is that we're fucking tired of talking to people about morality, and the first thing they say is, but it's not based on facts, but it's relative, but it's culture, this and that.
There are many reasons that we're doing this, and
that's my reason, that's my
motive. The big reason for me, I think, is to help people be able to argue the most important issues that there are. And when atheists refuse to give up these beliefs and religions of, you know, collectivism and culturalism, they do promote religious beliefs. They can't effectively argue against Christianity, which is what we do all the time. On moral grounds, you can't argue, there's no point in arguing if you're going to go ahead and say it's all based on arbitrary belief.
Exactly. And this is, I have an article coming on that, by the way. Definitely. The other thing is, these so-called reasonable atheists do try to use facts in other areas, most other areas, but when you talk about morality, they go completely apeshit. And they say, facts have nothing to do with it. Well, that's... Why do facts not apply to morality when they're supposed to apply in everything else?
Right, that's special pleading.
They analyze religion using facts. They choose they buy computers using facts. They buy food using facts. They do everything else using facts. But then when you talk about morality, they go, you can't use facts.
Right. Christians and people of religion have no problem claiming that their morality is completely solid and based on something solid, which they feel objective,
but it's not. It's based on beliefs, just like the atheists.
And I don't want atheists and other people to have to shrink away from being able to defend a position using reality like they do with every other thing in their life. They know that in order to know something, we must use reason. We do not use belief, and we do not flip a coin. And if people are going to ask you, where does your morality come from? I do not want to hear you tell them that it comes from belief, that it comes from your parents who just believed something, and it comes from your culture because it just, you know, was based on popularity or majority rule. I want
because
you to tell them
not.
Exactly
because
where it comes
not.
From because it
exactly.
does come from somewhere. It comes from causality, which is everything we do has a reaction.
And it's funny because some people don't like that. Well, I'm sorry you don't like that, but it's just a fact. It's just how it is.
The world exists. There is reality.
Why are you an atheist if you don't like things that are uncomfortable? Then why are you an atheist? If you think morality comes from culture, then why are you an atheist? You're a liar. You're
right.
A hypocrite.
You should probably be a Christian.
I mean, being an atheist and a relativist is pretty damn hypocrite.
But most of you are. Most of you are, and you know, those wheels are turning right now.
You're all liars.
But we need to be no, able to
get them to agree with me. I just say you're all liars.
You're all liars.
Damn hypocrites.
Again and again, I need you guys to understand. You need to identify what your fear is about what I'm saying, and that is Christians who have said to you, you know, that there is only one absolute morality and it comes from God. That's exactly what comes in your head. You're thinking you're trying to impose something on everybody else. We have to have freedom. If you impose one morality on everything else, that means we don't have freedom and nobody can have opinions. Of course, we're not talking about, we don't believe in absolutism. We're not, this is not about absolute morality.
Well,
it has nothing to do with it.
So,
and we are not fascists, and we don't want to shoot you.
Okay, well, now is the time to go to the objections. So, Andrew, why don't you go ahead and keep going from where you left off there?
Well, one of the questions I wanted to raise, and we were discussing this, was the idea that, you know, if you're really a moral relativist, then, you know, if a group of people wanted to kill you, for example, if you're a Jew living in Germany during the war and, you know, you're a moral relativist, then you should be perfectly happy that the SS officers come to your house and kill you. And I posted something along those lines on Radical Libertarian and asked for some relativists to please tell me that they were willing to defend the actions of somebody who wanted to kill them because of, you know, it was the cultural value or whatever. And I couldn't get a single person to.
Interesting, because on your previous post, you had plenty of answers. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And silence, you know, chirp, chirp, and so on. Isn't that interesting?
Well, of course, it speaks to what people believe about democracy.
And of course, we should get to that. But then you get someone like David Eller, who told me completely honestly that if Christians believe that they should kill all atheists, then it's moral. So, there you go. There are people who are insane enough to say that.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I don't understand why people don't understand that just because a lot of people believe something, it doesn't mean that it makes something moral.
Exactly.
You certainly are, if you're an atheist, you certainly understand that if a lot of people believe something, it doesn't make it true. So that applies everywhere. A lot of people believing in something,
yeah, but they don't understand
neither it. Makes it true nor makes it right,
they don't
nor
under-
makes it moral.
They don't understand it because they love democracy.
Because you say it's right for them. It's not right for them. It's just like a lot of people don't, if a lot of people believe the earth is flat, it isn't right for them because they think it. I don't care what people's opinions are. If they're not based on fact and they're not rational, they're not correct. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that people shouldn't cut off little boys' wee-wees. You can say that little girls' vaginas shouldn't be sewn shut. Don't be a pussy and say that, well, it's their culture and we shouldn't let them, you know, because you think saying it's wrong means that we have to go to war with them. It's a completely separate issue. You know, having an opinion or basing morality on fact does not mean going and killing people or making them believe it.
Yeah, how do you make anyone believe morality?
You can't make anyone believe something. We're not talking about belief.
But how do you make people believe morality? Morality is a code of conduct. How can you force this on people? Doesn't make any sense.
I mean,
morality is an individual code of conduct.
By saying this, people...
How do you enforce that on people?
Right.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
You don't. By saying it, people are saying, you're trying to push your morality on everyone else. Which is, you know...
No, but what I'm saying is, if I force someone to do something, he's not following morality. I'm forcing him to do it.
That's like saying that making people say the Pledge of Allegiance forces patriotism on people. Of course, you can't make anyone patriotic. You can hold it, if you hold a gun to someone's head, say, that removes moral choice because it's not a choice anymore.
So, Andrew, have you had some interesting comments from relativists that you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, well, there's just one here I take out. I mean, in my post here, I ask, who is willing to defend Nazi prison camps as part of 20th century German culture? Are you going to stand up for the members of the Ku Klux Klan who killed blacks in the name of their white culture? I want someone to write a comment defending the parents who sexually, emotionally, and physically abuse their children because parental culture is just as valid as any other. And one of the responses I get was, as a relativist, I'm a relativist, but I admit I can't defend the Third Reich, the KKK, or sexual abuse.
Oh! Isn't that interesting?
Again, like I said, you know, morality is relative, but some morality is more relative than others.
And then this poster goes on to say, tell me, whose morals are moral? Yours?
Whose morals are moral?
Which means they don't understand anything. I mean, See, that's like one of my posts. Someone said, who's to decide what's moral? You? I certainly hope not. Me? I certainly hope not. Your father? Oh, I most certainly hope not. And I said, how do you even manage to survive?
Yeah, who's left to do the judgment? Just God?
I guess so. You must be a Christian of some sort.
But see, he's thinking that means that if you make a moral judgment, that means you have to put somebody in jail or...
Who's going to tell us what's true and what's not? We need an authority.
The court system.
We need an authority.
No, he said we can't have an authority, and you can't decide for yourself.
No, but he is assuming that we need an authority. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I guess what he's saying maybe is that if you don't decide, then if a lot of you together... make your opinion and write it down on a piece of paper and then put it in a box and then you count them all up, the opinion that is the most
it wins
and that makes it moral. But it doesn't, because we just have to be forced to follow it. It looks like our friend Aaron is here. Maybe you might want to invite him.
Aaron is here?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have much time, though.
We don't have much time, but that's alright. But it's kind of scary to me that someone would completely abdicate any responsibility for making choices. Obviously, we know he does make choices for himself. Otherwise, he wouldn't be around. Sure, he has a mother. He's too young. He doesn't live on his own. But he still has to, you know, if you're a teenager, you're still making choices for yourself. And it would be scary if you didn't, unless you're, you know, Down syndrome or something, and even they have to choose to pick up that baloney, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, I agree with what you're saying, absolutely. Well, what are we talking about?
We were talking about making decisions
like the authority, yeah, who's going to decide? Well, obviously, everyone decides what's true for themselves. That's true of everything else. Once again, the same thing again. People think in one way, and then when you say the word morality, people become idiots.
Yeah, something shuts off. It's like a magic switch. Because it may very well be a result of sort of an abuse parental kind of culture that kind of programs people. And it's not just the fault of, say, Christianity, but...
Yes, well, sure. I mean, the state doesn't want people going around saying, hey, you're immoral.
Well,
but
yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
It's like, also, that is a problem to say he's immoral and she's immoral. It makes more sense.
I mean, we were talking a little bit about the origins of relativism, I guess, a couple days ago, and I think somebody brought up, you know, in public school, when you're sitting there and the teacher asks, you know, who wants to raise their hand? Don't worry, nobody can be wrong. It's just your opinion, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the whole premise of the state and religion and any other collectivism is that morality is something that is imposed from an authority. That's the whole premise of it.
Right, and there's no... It doesn't work in their brains to think that you can be morally autonomous.
Exactly.
Or that doesn't even exist yet.
Someone who's morally autonomous is a danger to any such moral authority. So, obviously, people are taught that... that you can decide what's right or wrong. That's why most people are relativists, because that's what they've been taught to believe by the state and religion. So
right.
You have to rely on beliefs.
Right, when you say that you would never
on
know...
arbitrary beliefs.
When you say that you can never know what is right or wrong on your own without parental guidance,
yeah.
Then you have to start wondering, where did that come from?
Exactly.
Because culture, what was it, the world didn't appear one day with culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture
is
made by people.
Yeah,
culture is almost a moral act in itself.
I completely broke this.
You know, but because people made the society. Society didn't make people.
It's sort of like people will sit there and say, oh, I can't, you know, it's not up to me to determine whether or not the war in Iraq is moral or immoral. But if you put that same person on a desert island with one other person, they're going to pretty soon decide, hey, we shouldn't fight, maybe we should work together, you know, maybe we should eat, all these things. It's like, well, if you can make decisions in one situation, why can't you make judgments in the other?
Yeah, but it's not the same thing. The war in Iraq is political. It's the government.
It's different.
Well, by the way, you guys, we only have a minute left.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Well, just like... I need people to explain how it's different from everything else. Because we know that when you say something is different, you know, you're special pleading. You have to really provide some evidence as to why it can be different and somehow transcendent from reality. What is it if it's not real?
Morality is based on the green god of Mars and... such.
Right. I mean, we know that it could
come
from culture because, I mean, if it ultimately comes from culture, are they like, is it a weird sort of deist morality where the morality was created in the first culture and then the first culture died out and it just kind of...
All right, we have to go now.
I guess so.
Why don't you give our coordinates?
Sure. You can see more shows, listen to more shows at hellboundalley.com, and you can email me with your lame arguments against this at alley@hellboundalley.com or at my blog at hellboundalley.blogspot.com, where you can find everyone else's blog. That's right. And you can find everyone else's blog on my
links. Tomorrow on our live show, we will refute and demolish fishdon'twalk.com. And next week, we have a show with Aaron Kinney, The Culture Wars. We're going to talk about a civil discussion and the war. The war between religion. Yeah, another one. And secular modernity and tolerance, intolerance, populism, whatever. And May 6th, we're going to talk to Edward Grief, brother of the aforementioned Andrew, about the Black Universe. So that should be interesting.
Great.
With all sorts of physics and concepts. Bye, everyone.
We'll see you next week.
Go.